From Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news, John Oliver was fascinated by the trial of Alex Jones. Oliver said the way Alex Jones handled this trial is almost a masterclass of what not to do in court, starting with the fact that he lied so many times the judge had to say this. Oliver then played a clip of the judge saying, "It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify, yet here I am. You must tell the truth when you testify. This is not your show." Oliver said, "You can understand the judge's frustration there. When it comes to rules, the judge doesn't have to expect to spell out, 'Don't lie in court,' which is right up there with, 'You have to leave your beer outside.'" Also, it's not admissible evidence if it happened in a dream, and we do not celebrate Halloween in here. So we kind of have to start on Gossip Corner today. It was Friday night. I was minding my own business. I was watching my television. I had recorded Saturday, Sunday, and Monday so I could have a nice weekend in peace. And I picked up my phone and I saw Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian split. And I'm like, does that warrant a bonus episode? Do I have to rip up the weekend? And I'm like, it's kind of comedy adjacent. So before we dive in, it's kind of a fun story, but real life me over the weekend was sort of worrying about Pete Davidson. I've never met Pete. I've never worked with Pete, but he has been open about his mental health issues. And I'm wondering if he'll be okay after this, considering he got tattoos and everything. So yeah, I don't want to goof too much on this, but it is kind of big news in the comedy world. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson have broken up and decided to just be friends. Sources close to the couple exclusively told E! News. The insider said the pair has a lot of love and respect for each other, but they found the long-distance dynamic and their demanding schedules, quote, made it really difficult to maintain a relationship. So that's a complete backpedal from the story I read you, I think, on Friday's podcast, where they were saying, oh, you know, the distance is hard, but they're keeping it together. Who knows? The source said they did break up last week amicably due to distance and schedules. Now, Kanye West posted a fake cover of the New York Times with the headline, "Skeet Davidson dead at age 28. Insiders tell the Daily Mail Kim Kardashian is not happy with that. She has been vigorously defending Pete. She'll never get back together with Kanye over the way he's treated people she loves and respects. Kim has tried incredibly hard to have a good co-parenting situation for the children." And from Yahoo, Katy Perry received some surprising results while participating in the latest TikTok trend. Katy was using the MASH filter. Now, if you're of a certain age, remember this thing? It's like you fold up paper and you kind of open, like you go like up, down, left, right, and determines your future car, house, number of kids, and love. Remember that? You used to do one of those? Yeah. So Katy Perry jumped in and found out she was set to live in a castle, drive a Tesla, have 6 kids. And although she's engaged to Orlando Bloom, the MASH filter said Katy Perry was destined to be with Pete Davidson. Before all the breakup news hit the wires, Katy Perry jokingly captioned her video, "No offense, Kim Kardashian and Orlando." What's Pete's reaction? Well, he was spotted on Saturday in Australia. He was wearing a green trucker hat decorated with his film titled Wizards, and he was wearing a t-shirt. The t-shirt said, "What? I feel like crap." It actually had the S word, but we work clean here at Daily Comedy News. So we'll keep an eye on Pete Davidson and we'll leave Kim Kardashian behind. From Canton rep Dave Chappelle drew big laugh after big laugh a Sunday night at the Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium with jokes about Will Smith and Chris Rock, marriage advice to a couple seated near the stage, the speed of a transgender swimmer, and what Dave Chappelle would do if ever elected Ohio governor. Right, we've got a breakdown of a set. Sounds like fun. He performed for roughly 1 hour. Chappelle praised Ohio several times, gave a heartfelt greeting to Cleveland Browns legend Jim Brown. Chappelle said Jim Brown was in attendance. Jim Brown, not the only star name Chappelle worked into his comedy. He also joked about retired boxer Floyd Mayweather. Chappelle joked about the time he spent at Mayweather's Las Vegas strip club while amusingly emphasizing his wife's lack of jealousy. Chappelle said his wife didn't even get mad when he spent too much money at the strip club. The joke, how could she get mad? It's not like she's earning the money. Dave spent considerable time on the subject of Will Smith and Chris Rock. Chappelle shifted between humor and insightful commentary on the effect of the event. Dave commented on the media attention and said, "That bleep was like the space shuttle blowing up. I saw my friend Will slap my friend Chris. That bleep was something. The war stopped for 3 minutes in Ukraine." Chappelle joked about transgender swimmers. It was believed he was referring to Leah Thomas. Dave told men in the audience they could swim a lot faster if their penis was removed. The remarks filled the stadium with laughter, according to the article. Dave joked about being a write-in candidate for Ohio governor. That would be the wildest bleep that ever happened. His first proposal, make it illegal to be Amish. Chappelle said he was puzzled by the reluctance of Amish to use modern technology. All you want to do is make cheese. Has there ever been a black Amish? I want to join them. Throughout the show, Dave joked with a couple who were near the stage. Their names Brock and Emily. They're expecting their first child. Chappelle offered them, quote, things you got to remember and you'll stay married forever. Among his tips, cry about your mistakes only for a day or two. About being a husband, Dave said, in marriage, I don't count. Another rule to keep his marriage strong. Chappelle says he cheats, which drew one of the loudest laughs all night. Dave said, I do all the cheating, but somehow I'm the jealous one. And then he added, since his wife doesn't care that he's cheating, that means she is. Kind of opened my inbox here. I left myself a note. So after I recorded 4 episodes on Thursday, the nice folks at Just for Laughs sent out an email about Cancun. Let's see what it says. Continue laughing this fall with Just for Laughs Escapes in Cancun, Mexico, November 2nd to the 6th. Now, I'm not going to that. I would love to go to Cancun and cover Comedy Festival, but I am running the New York City Marathon on November 6th. So me being in Cancun for the 4 days leading up, not a good idea, but look who's playing here. Your headliner and the biggest image of them all, Dane Cook. Recently engaged to his fiance, who's 23. Dane Cook, 50 years old, is your headliner. Some of the other boxes here. Tim Dillon gets a box. Pete Holmes, Craig Robinson, Nurse Blake, Jeff Ross, Jessica Kirsten, Rachel Feinstein, and whatever Trash Tuesday is. What's Trash Tuesday? Hopefully you guys aren't like, how does he not know what Trash Tuesday is? Trash Tuesday. Trash Tuesday is Annie Lederman, Esther Pavitsky, and Kayla Kuhn. It's a podcast. It's a show. It's comedy. It's drama. It's everything you want it to be. Got that from the Google machine. Okay, they'll be there. Headline stand-up comedy shows, live podcast by the pool. I already do that just for laughs. After-hours beach parties and a boat party. Book your 3-day tropical getaway where comedy meets paradise. Love it, but marathon takes precedence there. I did not make it up to the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival last week, and I missed out on a cruise. Apparently, there's a cruise on Thursday. Participants were encouraged to dress up as Lucille Ball. Guests on the boat were served a lunch inspired by the I Love Lucy job switching episode, which included chicken, rice, roasted veggies, and a chocolate dessert. I'm going to talk about the actual podcast here for like a minute. If you don't want to hear it, skip ahead. Doing some soul searching here. So part of the soul searching is, as I've been writing the show, there's all these reviews for the Edinburgh Fringe, and I'm interested in it. I like to broaden my horizons. But here's the deal. It's all about the listeners, and I'd be curious what you guys want to hear. So hit me up on the Facebook group or the Instagram. So Facebook group is Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, or just email me. My email address is in the show notes. I've been in broadcasting for 30 years now. And one thing that is true in all formats, and I'm talking talk radio, I did talk radio in the 90s, and talk radio hits in the 90s were gun control, abortion, and Bill Clinton. I did the comedy format. Play the hits. If it's 2007, play Dane Cook and Jeff Dunham. I might not have the exact dates right there, but that, you know, you get the idea. Those were the popular comedians, so you play them. And I see here on this podcast, if I serve up meat and potatoes, those episodes don't do as well as if I serve up, say, Gossip Corner. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate the universe. Clearly, I want downloads. Clearly, I want the podcast to be popular. But I don't want to just spiral down into Joe Rogan said this, Dave Chappelle said that. Now, I do plenty of that. And here, let me give you some evidence. I just ran the numbers. Here are the most popular episodes of the last 30 days. Right now, the most popular episode of the last 30 days has the simple title, Quick Hits, Joe Rogan, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, Larry Wilmore. So there's an example of, and I'm open about this, I keyword stuff. I got Rogan, Segura, and Kreischer in the headline. Second one, what happens if Dave Chappelle gets nominated for an Emmy? Third most popular, popping a little bit, is Tim Dillon's What America Means to Me, an instant classic. Fourth, Dave Chappelle Emmy nomination again. Fifth, why Mark Maron would like another shot at John Mulaney and Kevin Hart. Also, comma, Tim Heidecker's Joe Rogan parody. Do you see the theme here? Next, Dave Chappelle nominated for Emmy. Seven, will Jon Stewart? And I also mentioned Bill Burr and John Mulaney and Pete Davidson in that headline. Okay, you get the idea. But I do want to talk about things like New Faces and Edinburgh Fringe. So, and there's a lot of Fringe this month. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make Fringe the last thing I do every day. So if you're like, I'm never going to Scotland, I don't care, you can punch out. And it's kind of what I do anyway, right? I tend to talk about Chappelle-type things right at the start for the reasons just discussed. And as the podcast gets deeper, I go a little wider. I'm just trying to navigate this all. So I'd love your thoughts on this. Again, Daily Comedy News podcast group or the Instagram at Daily Comedy News, or email me. It's in the show notes. Speaking of Fringe, Spotify is catching some grief. Spotify is advertising like on billboards at the Fringe with the headline, "Comedy shows you don't need a ticket for." On Facebook, someone named Chris Cook posted, "Hey, Spotify, in a city full of comedians desperately trying to sell tickets to their shows, I'm not convinced this is the best marketing slogan for your comedy podcasts. Basically, don't spend money on actual shows, just download these for free." Not sure the comedy community would be too keen on that. It sounds to me like the Fringe is toppling over from its own success. This from The Guardian, the headline, and we talked about this previously. Edinburgh Fringe performers pitch tents and caravans as rents in the city double. Comics say they're being priced out, with venue directors warning that the future of the event is under threat. Tony Law has been coming to Fringe for 20 years to perform, but he's never had an experience like this year. He's staying in a caravan on a working farmyard outside the city with his 13-year-old son and their German shepherd. Law is an established comedian with a strong fan base and, unlike many performers, is expecting to make a profit from his performances, yet he almost didn't come this year because of accommodation costs. Until a last-minute save from a friend with a caravan and a connection to a farmer willing to lease out his land. Law said if you're 22 and able to stay in a flat with 7,000 people, you can maybe make it work. It's fine for them or for Ricky Gervais, but for other performers, I'm not sure. He said he's also unable to pick up lucrative last-minute work on compilation shows because of the half-hour drive into town. Sean Davies runs Best in Class, which showcases working-class comedians at the Fringe. Davies said, "It's pricing people out. You're already on the back foot if you're from a working-class environment. You'll end up with a Fringe, which is even more homogenous and middle-class. If one type of performer is here at the world's biggest festival, then all of TV and radio is just that. This is where deals are done and people are picked up." Davies said the accommodation costs are resulting in a two-tier system in which people staying on campsites have less access to the networking and paid opportunities. Samantha Day is a full-time comedian staying on a campsite 45 minutes by bus outside the festival. That site is so popular, she has to move for the second end of the festival to an area without a bus link. Samantha Day said, "All the comedians I know are really nervous about their shows. I'm much more nervous about logistics. Will I have to walk home for 4 miles at 1 a.m.? Yikes. If you are interested in Fringe, start checking out the website The Comics Comic. Sean McCarthy's been running that website. He used to cover stuff at SiriusXM, so he's been doing this site for at least 15 years, and he appears to be over at the Fringe because he has posted a ton of reviews. Like, I can't imagine how he's even attending so many shows. So that website is The Comics Comic, and I'll be chipping away at it for like the next 3 weeks. Sean McCarthy went to see my current comedy crush, Randy Feldface. He gave it 4.5 stars out of 5. Randy Feldface is blowing minds through an evolutionary intro piece that shows us proto-protozoa Randy emerging from an egg, then swimming atop the stage as a fish. As properly improper Randy, he's an extraordinary endangered species of one, and he's here to implore us, "We need to save the world from ourselves." Randy wonders how we'll ever come together as a community. We prefer arguments to solutions, and this disagreement orgy is slowly killing us all. If only there were a way to bring us all together. Besides, of course, Sweet Caroline. Randy Feldface runs at the Fringe through August 28th. 4.5 stars from Sean McCarthy's The Comics Comic. Check it out. Minnesota has its own Fringe. A show that premiered on Friday at Minnesota Fringe was Curtain Call, Letters to My Friend Louis Anderson. It's the brainchild of Jason Schomer. Schomer shared anecdotes about his famous friend Louis Anderson, from how they first bonded in a St. Louis Park grocery store to a hilarious phone fight in Las Vegas, where Schomer was Louis Anderson's regular opening act. The review says some of the dramatic framing, like Schomer pecking away at a typewriter and pop songs playing between bits, are unnecessary. The show works best when he ditches the theatrical touches and just lets loose as a stand-up, sharing funny stories about a funny pal. Curtain Call, Letters to My Friend Louis Anderson, will also play Friday and Saturday. Information at minnesotafringe.org. And that is your comedy news for today. Again, would love the feedback. Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, Instagram at Daily Comedy News, email in the show notes. See you tomorrow.